going on? Tomorrow is Vaman Dwadashi. And often devotees celebrate festivals in the evening of the day because it's convenient for them because they're working in the day. But
what happened to the sound?
What happened to the sound? But most of these festivals are actually supposed to be celebrated in the morning, and can be starting on the evening before also. So it's actually more appropriate if you're going to celebrate in the evening to do it in the evening before. So some discussion of Vamandev, some philosophical points regarding this. Sound? Whatever. I don't think it's something wrong with that there. Some loose connection or something. Is it? Okay. So, recently in Los Angeles, there, who I know for many years, since about 1978. He's in this life from Bihar. He was in ISKCON, Calcutta. And after some time being there, he started a business, and devotees thought him somewhat materialistic. He came out to America, and he's become a great scholar, and he's read, I think he must have read all the Puranas in the Hindi translation of Gita Press, which they try to give a very faithful, they're committed to giving a faithful translation. Of course, they don't, without the guidance of the pure Vaishnava Acharyas, they may sometimes get things wrong. But whenever I meet him in Los Angeles, he's always flowing with katha. He loves to speak on Krishna katha from all different shastras. And somehow the topic of Vamana and Bali Maharaj came up, and he told me some story. So I asked him to give me, this is one chapter from Vamana Purana, which, that's an important point that, you know, you might think, well, this devotee is really not doing very well or not out of it, but give them time. People go through different phases. So, Krishna consciousness is a purifying process. So, is the story of Bali Maharaj, which of course is also in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And many of these narrations, they appear in different Puranas, maybe a little differently with some different details. And which I want to discuss with maybe with a different outlook also. So here in Skanda Purana, which I haven't read it all, but I'm told or seen that it's mostly glorifying Lord Shiva. It's one of the Tamasic Puranas. There are 18 Mahapuranas or major Puranas, 6 for persons in sattva gun, the mode of goodness, 6 are for persons in rajogun, in the mode of passion, and 6 are in tamogun, the mode of ignorance. And they glorify different gods accordingly. And Srimad Bhagavatam is above them all. Although they may tell basically the same stories, and they're all ultimately meant for glorifying Krishna. So here in the Skanda Purana, it's described that there was a gambler who he had other bad habits apart from gambling. And not only was he gambling, but he was cheating. He was a cheating gambler. Because if you're a gambler and you don't cheat, then you're soon finished. You don't have anything left to gamble with. That's what Yudhishthira found out. He didn't cheat. I always wondered, how can you gamble at dice? How can you cheat at dice? And then, guess what? I asked a devotee about this, and he sent me a web link which shows everything's on the internet, all different processes of cheating at dice. You can get anything on the internet. Of course, you probably need a guru to teach you all these things, all the wrist movements and all this kind of thing. So he was a cheater at dice. Gambling is bad enough, and cheating at it is worse. And he had other bad habits, such as fondness for prostitutes. Just hearing about these bad habits is such a pious house. Even at the mention of it, the things start to fall down. Not used to things like that.
Doesn't Krishna say something about that? Of gamblers and cheats?
Dyutam chalayatam asmi. I am the gambling of cheats. That means we should all gamble, right? So it says right there in Bhagavad Gita. It's allowed. There must be many gambling casinos in Florida because it's a tourist place and tourists are in the mood of spending money. Have fun. Work hard all year, earn your money, and then just squander it away in Florida. So, one time having done a good cheating job in gambling, he had got some nice flowers and scents, S-E-N-T-S, yes, and he was going to see a prostitute. When all of a sudden he fell down, fainted, and got up, and realized that his life was coming to an end. And at that point, he mentally offered the scents and the flowers which he had got for the prostitute to Lord Shiva. He had enough sense to do that. Enough sense, S-E-N-S-E, it sounds almost similar. Not that he had enough, anyway. So, guess what happened next? He ended up in front of Yamaraj. Yamaraj said, Chitragupta, bring the file. Yamaraj is the god of death. And Chitragupta is his secretary. So every time you gamble and go to a prostitute, Chitragupta makes a little note. I know none of you do this, but it sounds more dramatic if we say that. And at the end of life, you go and see Yamaraj, and Yamaraj says, oh, next one, send him to that hell. So Chitragupta read out the list of his crimes throughout his life, and you can imagine it was pretty impressive. And the gambler said, well, did I do anything pious in my life? And looked through and looked through and looked through and said, yes, just at the end you offered something to Lord Shiva. And so what would be the result of that piety? Then you have 3 hours in the position of Lord Indra. So he said, well, can I have my pious results before my impious? So Yamaraj called up Indra and said, hey, look, could you just stand aside for 3 hours and let this guy in. He said, okay. So he's 3 hours on the post of Indra. So he thought, okay, let me do some more pious activities. So he gave away Airavata, the elephant of Indra, to Brihaspati. He gave away Uchaisrava, his horse, to someone else. He gave away as much as he could in 3 hours to all different rishis. And then he counteracted a lot of his sinful activity. He's a very clever guy. But don't think you can do that. Don't take the gamble of thinking you can do that also. So then Indra came back and found half my treasury's gone and all the, you know, so then he asked, who did he ask? I can't remember. Brihaspati, his guru, how to get it all back. And Brihaspati said, look, you did 100 Ashwamedha yagyas to become Indra, but after that you never did anything pious. You never gave any charity or anything. So you better give away more of your stuff to get some piety. And then you can, when you've pleased the rishis, who are not really interested in all this wealth anyway, you can just ask them to give it back to you, and they will. And that's what happened. Meantime, the ex-gambler got born as Bali. And there's also a story. I always wondered, because you always hear about Virochana, and there was Hiranyakashipu, and his most prominent son was Prahlad. And Prahlad's most prominent son was Virochana, and Virochana's son was Bali. So Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, and Bali are very famous, but you don't hear much about Virochana. There is one mention in the Puranas, in the Upanishads, of how Indra and Virochana, they both went to Brahma to ask about knowledge of what is the Atma. And first of all, that's apparently all I knew about Virochana before this. And first of all, Brahma, he explained that the Atma is the body. So they said, okay. And they both went away, and Virochana was fully satisfied with that because he's a demon. Yeah, the Atma, the all-important thing is the body. So he was very satisfied with that. And Indra came back and said, is that all? Is there not more to understand about the Atma than the Atma is the body? And Indra said, Brahma said, yes, yes, I'll teach you more, because Virochana had gone away and now it was time to speak spiritual knowledge to Indra. So anyway, what happened to Virochana is described in this chapter of Skanda Purana, that Indra, dressed as a brahmana, went to Virochana was famous for giving charity. So Indra went to him and said, can you give me charity? He said, yeah, I'll give you whatever you like. He said, give me your head. And he was very happily cut off his head. And that's how Virochana died. So, the demons, they can be very pious in some ways.
Where did he get his next life?
Well, I didn't find that out. You have to ask Lochan. He could tell you probably. What happened to Virochana in his next life? After he gave his head away, I don't know. But Kirtya Yasya Chit Sajivati, Srila Prabhupada used to quote that one lives by one's fame. So the Kshatriyas, they were ready to die, and that Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, that what is that? Sambhavitasya cha kirtya marana dati richate. For one who has been honored, to be dishonored is worse than death. So the idea that we'll uphold, and it's not necessarily just a personal ego thing, it's upholding the prestige of our whole dynasty like this. So then Bali Maharaj became the king of the demons. So you see, which is, to become the king of the demons, everyone gets the fruit of their activities with some piety and some impiety. It's all mixed up. Everyone in the material world, with very few exceptions. with different degrees. Just like you could say that a dog born in the average dog born in America is not suffering as much as the average dog born in India. So they have a comfortable existence and they're pampered, whereas the dogs in India, they're just street dogs in the street. They're just
dogs.
Yeah, they're just
dirty dogs.
No one loves them. Not even each other. Dogs don't even love each other. So then Bali became the king of the demons, and the whole story is given, but it's told quite briefly. But within that narration, we find the demigods going to Vishnu and praying to him that you are the cause of all, you are the supreme cause of all causes. And it establishes him as supreme. But just to go forward quickly through the story, because I think you know it all, it's very relishable. It's very Vamana cheats Bali, and he goes against his own, Bali goes against his own guru for the sake of Vishnu, and how, having taken everything away from Bali, then he's it's so funny because he comes as a tiny little boy and asks for 3 steps of land, and Bali says, you see, anyone who comes to beg from, you're not very experienced, you're just a little boy. So you don't really know your best interest. I can give you a whole island, which means a whole section of the universe. And you see, anyone who comes to me to beg something, they should, for my prestige, they should never have to come back to me or to go to anyone else. I should be able to give them all they need for their whole life. So, you know, you just take my advice and take something more. And Vamanadeva gave this whole speech about, you see, you should be content with just the bare minimum. You shouldn't be greedy. You shouldn't take more than you need. So it was agreed. Okay, 3 steps of land by his measurement. And he's just a little boy. Then in 2 steps, Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan, he's the smallest of the small and the biggest of the big, he covered the whole universe. And he said to Bali Maharaj, you're boasting that you can give me so many things, but you couldn't even give me 2 steps of land. 3 steps of land, with 2 steps I covered the whole universe. And Trivikram. He's called Trivikram. 3 great steps. The first two were over. With the first 2 steps, he covered the whole universe. And with the third one, he was a very small area. He covered the head of Bali. We say 3 great steps. The third step was the greatest. To cover the whole universe, what is that? For Bhagavan, anyway, it comes out of his body in the first place. It's just something that comes out with his perspiration. But to conquer the heart of his devotee, to take the devotee, to put his head on the devotee means to take the devotee into his shelter. So that for him is much, in his own estimation, that is a greater step than covering the universe.
More generous. Hmm? He's being more generous.
More generous, yeah. He gives himself. Atma Prajanto Prashad. That's one statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That, what is that? Alpo Shiva Bahumane Atma Praja. Krishna Shabhav Bhakter Naloy Aparad. Then Alpo Shiva Bahumane Atta Prajanto Prashad. That Krishna, his very nature, is that he doesn't see any offense, or he doesn't consider any offense of his devotee. But even if the devotee does a little service, he considers it to be very great. And in return, he gives his very self to the devotee. So it's a very sweet story. Vindhyavali, the wife of Bali Maharaj, here in Skanda Purana, said that you should take your three steps. The first over the my head, the next over our son's head, and the next over Bali Maharaj's head. So it's a little bit different. There are some different things. Anyway, the whole thing, then Bali gets sent down to Sutala, which is a suitable place for the demons because it's subterranean, but Bali is blessed by the presence of Vamana. Oh, I was saying there also that we get mixed, everyone gets a mixed result. That's also there in Bhagavad Gita, that is anishtam ishtam mishram char trivid ham karamana palam. The fruits of work are desirable, undesirable, and mixed. So everyone gets that. So Balimar, the gambler, because he was a gambler, he was born as a demon, but because he did some pious, his outlook was to be demoniac, but then because he did some pious activity, he got the position of the king of the demons. Just like a dog is very bad karma, but if you're a dog in America, it's generally a better situation than a dog in India. So it's all mixed up like that. And it goes in cycles also, just like someone out of pious activity, they become the president of the United States, but then they have to take 1/6 of the karma of everyone in this country. And whew. They wouldn't take the job if they knew what they were getting into. So heavy. So in the next life, it's unimaginable what they have to enter into. Why don't you go and tell him that? You told me you could go and meet that guy. It only cost you $5,000 or something. He won't listen.
What if they ask for their bias credit first, like that gambling?
Well, that's one thing, actually. Being born in India is that even the rascals have some contact with Vedic culture, and they could be smart enough to ask a question like that, give me my pious credits first. So it's very valuable being born in the Vedic culture, which is why we want to establish it and not Western culture. So anyway, the conclusion, though, is very, as it's given here in Skanda Purana, for those of us who are used to reading Srila Prabhupada's books, it's surprising. But if you consider that Skanda Purana is meant to glorify Lord Shiva, it says at the end that, you see, so this all proves, it says at the end of the story, that how merciful is Lord Shiva, just by a little prayer to him, you got everything. Therefore, there's no doubt that Lord Shiva is the supreme. And we're wondering, well, you know, what's going on here? Because already Vishnu has been glorified as supreme. Then it says Shiva is supreme. But so it's the same story, but with a different conclusion. And people who are inclined to see Lord Shiva as supreme, they will see it like that. So that may be good for them in the sense that persons who are not in sattva-gun, persons who are not in the mode of goodness, they're not inclined to accept Vishnu as supreme. But that they accept anyone as supreme is a step up for them, and that they're within the Vedic culture is a step up. Because if they didn't have that, then they'd just be completely unregulated. And then they'd commit more sinful activities. And by honoring Lord Shiva, even without proper knowledge of his position, they get pious credits. And in the case of Bali Maharaj, that brought him into contact with Prahlad. Maharaj. So sometimes Krishna arranges that devotees are born in demoniac families. He's kind even to the demons, so that the demons, they can also get some benefit. But it might be confusing unless we have the Shastra explained to us by the Vaishnava Acharyas, then it would be very confusing. Can you imagine reading the Srimad Bhagavatam with just the translation, with no idea of Vaishnava philosophy? What would you think about the story of Mohini Murti? It would seem that Vishnu, he's taking all these forms just to favor the demigods and cheating the demons, and then she is chased by Lord Shiva. What do you make of all this? I mean, the British, when they translated all these works, they couldn't make head or tail of it. They thought it's all contradictory, hocus-pocus, mythology, inconsistent. You need the Vaishnava Acharyas to explain this, and Srila Prabhupada explained this all to us. I mean, even the Hindus themselves have a hard time. They can't work it all out. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, even those of us who are born in the Western countries with no background of this, we can understand what's going on, because he explains everything very clearly. That different demigods are glorified in different shastras for people on that level, but we have to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. There's at the beginning, Vyasadeva, after compiling all the shastras, he says at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Kaitava Projita Atra. Herein, all cheating religion is rejected. What does that mean, all the cheating religion? Everything that Vyasadeva had compiled up to then, with the exception of Vedanta Sutra. I'm not sure chronologic. No, he must have compiled it before that. Well, even the Mahabharata, actually the point is that none of the Shastra is cheating, but it's Narada Muni said to Vyasadeva that you've compiled all these Shastras, but it is jugupsitam, it is abominable that you have encouraged people to in materialistic activities which are not at all for their benefit. But that's what Vyasadeva is supposed to do. He's supposed to present the Shastra like this, but Narad said that it's abominable. It's vayasam tirtam, it's like a pilgrimage place of crows. Poor Vyas, he just does, and that's why he comes to this world to do, we shouldn't say poor Vyas, but as if we're in a superior position to him. He's always in a superior position to us. But what a predicament he's in, because he's supposed to do that. Of course, he's supposed to compile all these shastras, but from this we understand, Narad gives such strong words, and Vyas himself records them in Srimad Bhagavatam, just to make the point clear that nayatra hangsa niramantyu sikshaya, that those who are swan-like persons, they do not take pleasure in these other shastras, in the the meaning that would primarily be taken from them, the those who are swan-like, they do not take pleasure in this. So dharma ko kaitava projita atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Parama nirmatsaranam means those who are supremely free from envy. So they are like swans. Such persons are referred to as paramahamsas. And they take pleasure in glorification of Vishnu. Now, all the shastras meant for glorification of Vishnu. This at the end of Mahabharata, that is stated, that Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Cha Madhe Cha Sarvatra. Hari Sarvatra Giyate, that only Hari, Krishna, he is glorified throughout the Shastra. But so the Shastras have a double meaning. They may be taken in different ways, or actually in many, they're all different schools. The different Vedic schools have different philosophies, all derived from the same thing. So, someone like Lochan Prabhu may study all the Shastras. Not everyone has the time to do. I guess he did his business so well that he has time to. And there's other people like that also, who, because of some pious activity in previous life, that even without trying, money will come to them. And if they try, more money will come to them. And there are others who try and nothing comes to them. So those who are very fortunate will take this opportunity to study Shastra. But most people don't have time or they don't have the inclination. Everything is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything. Bhagavad Gita is 4 books, Srila Prabhupada said, are the basis of our Krishna conscious movement preaching. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Vedanta, of all Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam expands on that knowledge and gives information of the various avatars and of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna and various avatars. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the means by which we can have entrance to the deepest mysteries of Srimad Bhagavatam through the life or the pastimes and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Nectar of Devotion gives the essence of all these scriptures and practical guidance in how to attain the states that are described therein. So these are the essential books. And that's also not a small thing, to read all these books. There are many, many, many shastras. And we find in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam that the sages at Naimisharanya say to Sutta that there are so many shastras, but you have understood the essence of them all. So please tell us that for the benefit of people in Kali Yuga. And then he narrates Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can, with the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us very, very clearly, it's also possible to get hung up on so many different philosophical abstrusities and get your mind in a tizzy. But Srila Prabhupada presented everything so clearly that you don't have to be a great intellectual to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave Krishna consciousness in such a way that everyone can take to it. Everyone needs to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's not just for intellectuals. It's for everyone who wants to be a devotee has to understand what Srila Prabhupada is teaching, because without that, we're going to be misguided and misled. But one of Srila Prabhupada's great gifts is that he gave the clear understanding of all the Vedic literatures and made it available to everyone. So, Jai. So, those of you who have the time and the inclination, please study all of Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully. Research in Shastra is very much needed to answer various questions and controversial points. That is a specialized service that a few devotees, that is required, that a few devotees may take it up. And also to study various other philosophies in the light of Vaishnava Siddhanta, the teachings of the acharyas. So that is required. But for most devotees, chant Hare Krishna, take prasad, read Prabhupada's books, stick to the path, be happy and preach Krishna consciousness and go back to God. Wait, I said preach Krishna consciousness. You forgot that one. Sorry, Maharaj. I'm such a rascal. I shouldn't. What am I even doing speaking in front of Maharaj?
I was in a hurry to go back to God. But you can't storm the gates of heaven. Have to preach.
That's right, yeah. And that's the way to go back to Godhead, as also by Prabhupada's mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So we're very, very fortunate by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as received through Srila Prabhupada and in this Orlando area through Trivikram Maharaj, to have the opportunity. Well, it's a fact, you're the local guru here, Zonal Acharya. We're very fortunate to have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, hear about Vamana Dev, and take prasadam. Even on Ekadashi, Srila Prabhupada, he said you can fast, but he also said you can take prasadam. So you can choose. Up to you. If devotees want to do austerities, He thought that's good, nice, but he didn't force it on us. If we tell people that, well, what's your movement all about? I'm interested, I'd like to take it up. Well, you have to fast on every Ekadashi. I don't know how many of us could stay. Those that do, very nice, very good. But one of our godbrothers, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu, a few years ago, he's a great artist. He's done so much. All his life he's been painting and sculpting for Krishna. He lives in Vrindavan. He's 75-something years old. Like Trivikram Maharaj, he's 70-plus. And to use the English expression, strong as an ox. Although with Trivikram Maharaj, I think he's more like a young boy, jumping and dancing in kirtan. So somehow, some years ago, Ekadashi, and he told me, I used to fast on Ekadashi, but there's always the best prasadam on that day. So now I take prasadam. So with that, we'll say, Vamana Dev Ki Jai. And everyone should fast on Ekadashi, but if you're not, Ekadashi Prasad Ki Jai. All glories to Vamandev, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Trivikram Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Any question apart from what's for prasadam? Yes, please.
Isn't it bad to eat at night, though?
Isn't it bad to eat at night?
Okay, you're fasting tonight.
Yeah, there's a tape in which Prabhupada says, don't eat at night. Have you heard that? The tape, now it's digital. You say, don't eat at night. He's talking about the yoga system. Don't eat at night. So there you go. All right, Mataji, put away all the prasad. Everyone's laughing. They know that we won't do that. But then again, when Prabhupada was lecturing in Melbourne for a few days in a row, they'd have a lecture program, and then afterward there was full feast prasad, and then Prabhupada was very pleased with that arrangement. It's good, it encourages people to come. If it wasn't for the prasad, we probably wouldn't all be here anyway. What do you think?
What is it,
the Bhumi Bars or something? Is it? They used to be called Bhumi Bars. Yeah. So, anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to thank Narada Muni also for speaking like that to Vyas. That's all right, they can hear me.
Yeah.
My voice is strong.
No, but this is for the recording.
Because Narada Muni, we were just reading this morning, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, how he is an incarnation, actually, of bhakti, you know, the Shaktivesha, I guess he's Jiva, but he was able to come at the right time and convince his disciple Vyasadeva to write the
Srimad Bhagavatam, which is wholly and solely concerned of glorifying the Lord. So Narada Muni ki.
Yeah.
Recently, we sent a Bridget Radha asked me. So, what is our great fortune that on some devotees they do on Radha Ashmi and some devotees they do on Gopa Ashmi, that we have that great fortune.
What is that great fortune?
Yes, how is that this really happens that, you know, for all the other incarnations and Lord Krishna, we can see
Radharani's lotus feet are not shown, except Srila Prabhupada said they can be shown on Gopashtami. Although somehow or other it's been reinterpreted as Radhashtami. What is the great fortune we have of having darshan? Well, I tell you, a great fortune that you can have every single day is serving the lotus feet of Radharani, which is more important than seeing the lotus feet of Radharani. So if you serve the lotus feet of Radharani, by performing services in the Sankirtan movement, you may well have the opportunity of sometime painting her feet with this altar, it's called in Bengali, is red. So you can do it. Pujaris, they can do even now. So you can have that good fortune. What is that good fortune? Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanjeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Causeless mercy. Causeless mercy. It's not calculable. Then? Which is the right day? According to Srila Prabhupada, Gopashtami. There's one letter in this regard that the lotus feet of Radharani may be shown on this day.
What day is that?
Gopashtami, that's Gopuja, isn't it? That's the same as Govardhan Puja, yeah. Mm. Then, please.
Indra's worshipped probably more than anybody else.
Mm.
Agni, Indra, Chandra, Surya, and
In different parts of the Vedas, different demigods are glorified.
Yeah, but mostly the whole Veda is surrounded by a sacrifice.
Mm.
The whole thing is about sacrifice.
Mm.
So then, what is the significance of this Govardhan Puja where Krishna personally says, okay, that's all over.
Oh, that's a very interesting question, because the Vedas, they're all lead to sacrifice. That state, Krishna states that in Bhagavad Gita also. That actually the yajna, performance of yajna, karma, that, what is that, concludes, or that leads to yajna, and yajna leads to jnana. So about Govardhan Puja, Krishna's and wanted to stop the Indra yajna and perform Govardhan Puja. So is he making a statement about... well, he certainly... Krishna himself spoke the Mimamsaka philosophy. Isn't that amazing? I sometimes say that in Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to be careful, even in Srimad Bhagavatam there's nonsense, and Krishna speaks it. So you really have to receive the Bhagavatam through the acharyas. Krishna speaks nonsense, and it's right there in the Bhagavatam, and you should reject it, because it's nonsense. But I'm sure the acharyas, they can explain those passages in another way also. So, is what is the significance? Well, yeah, Krishna is, he's exemplifying the principle by recommending Govardhan Puja, which is not directly a Vedic sacrifice. Krishna is demonstrating the principle. It's a very good question. There's Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjana. That all of the three Vedas, the Vedas are within the modes of material nature, but one should act on the transcendental platform, which ultimately means Krishna consciousness. Very interesting observation.
It's another interesting thing, Mark. You know, you hear three Vedas, one is the three Vedas, but we know there's four.
Yeah.
And three of those Vedas surround the fire sacrifice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, Trivedi, we find that in Bhagavad Gita also. Trividyamam, Riksama Yajareva Chak. Twice in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna refers to the three Vedas. But we also, apart from having Rigvedis, Samavedis, Yajurvedis, we don't usually hear of Atharvavedis. But we also have Dvivedis, Trivedis, and Chaturvedis. So this is for questions like this. There's so many questions come up like this, and all kinds of philosophical challenges from all different directions. We really need a research institute, and of devotees who can really get into philosophical questions in great depth. I was just having a quick look this morning in your house at that commentary on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras by Edwin Bryant Advaita, and looks like he's done a very good job, yeah, in analyzing it. And because I often, when I see a book that, especially when I see a book that thick, I often go to the back and see what the conclusion is, and he doesn't shout it, but he brings it to that Ishvara is the Ishvara who is obliquely or not very clearly defined in by Patanjali is ultimately Narayana. So I mean, but the level of scholarship is just from a quick look, I could see that it's really first class. So this is the kind of, we need more of this also. And in the reviews, it's saying that this will definitely become the definitive for anyone who's more serious about the philosophical side of yoga. Yoga is such a huge thing in the Western world. Those become more serious will go to this. And then they can be taken further. I mean, even for devotees, if they want to. I also feel, there's another thought on this, I feel more that devotees who are preaching in the West, there's general preaching, but it would be good also for those who are preaching among intellectuals or whatever, considering this, what's going on in the world at the present, or what's going on in America in particular, and where people are at, it would be a good idea to study in some more depth Christianity and maybe Buddhism also, because a lot of people are getting into Buddhism. And I saw a little book by Satyaraj there, probably just a little book like that, which he gives an overview of the history and the teachings of Buddhism. Probably that's enough to speak with most people who themselves just have a smattering of knowledge. But if you know something, it's if you know a little something, it people are impressed by that also, and then you can answer their questions like that. Yesterday this Mataji was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and I thought, oh, it's time for me to read that again. It's been a long time since I read it, but it's that's the essence of Jesus' teachings.
Otherwise, Krishna says, Sarvasyacaham vidya.
Sarvasyacaham vidya.
But all the Vedas I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the. Prabhupada also said that when Pancha Dravida Swami came to Prabhupada in desperation. He'd been in South India and all these pandits pulling, you know, quoting Upanishads and Vedas. And, what do I do? I can't. They've spent, you know, from childhood they've been trained. And Prabhupada said, if you just learn 30 verses from the Bhagavad Gita, you can answer every question. Just like if they bring out demigods, you can just quote Kamais Taistai Hridagana Prapadyante Nadevataha. Only foolish people are stupid. Okay, that's that finished. You know, they'll quote this, that, and you'll just say Bhagavad Gita, half a shloka, finished. So it's also possible and maybe better like that. In some ways better. If you want to take it up in a level that may be more satisfying to people, then you could also get into it in a bit more detail. That's just a suggestion. It's not that all the brahmacharis have to take 3 years off and go to university and do a course in comparative religion.
Thank God.
But there are things like I saw Satyaraj had a little book on Buddhism. Probably that's enough. Like that. I know myself, I read little bits and pieces here and there about science, and then when I go to colleges in India where they're really impressed by science, you say a few things and they think, oh, you know so much. I don't know. Everything I know, I say, and they think I know so much. It's just cheating them, actually. But devotees, they should be known as the greatest philosophers, the greatest intellectuals, the greatest, the most pure, the greatest humanitarians. People should know that by giving this knowledge, they're the best humanitarians. And so on. And a lot of people already know, the vegetarians, they all say they're the best cooks. So without further delay, Hare Krishna, guess what's next? Krishna will inspire you from within your heart to know what's next, from within your stomach. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam dehamash pranapana samayutav pachamyanam chaturvidam.